Bob, Candid Camera was another series which really established you, didn't it?
Yes, that was wonderful for me. It was the very first... I had done Candid Mike on Radio Luxembourg, very briefly. Pete Murray was the original host of that, but he'd worked with Jonathan Rath on that show. So when ABC Television, that was, came to me and said, we've got Candid Camera, we've got the rights from a man in America called Funt. I always thought that was an extraordinary portmanteau word. And Alan Funt had leased it to ABC. Would you like to host it? Would I like to host it? I leapt in. I loved it. I'd seen the Columbia shorts that had been in the news theatres where the technique had been used, the hidden camera. Otherwise, it was totally new. So no one had ever seen a hidden camera used. And what was so lovely about it, not only did we do great stunts like the car with no engine that people remember so well, and Jonathan Rath asking in an ironmonger's for left-handed teacups, and the man saying, we don't stop them, there's very little demand. That was all grand, but what I loved about the Funt technique was it wasn't just used for observing practical jokes. It was used for example, seeing children, little infants, tackling ice cream for the first time, or melon for the first time, or just a series of shots of traffic policemen directing traffic set to music, so they appeared to be conducting an invisible orchestra. Those were masterpieces of visual entertainment. And as the host, I didn't have to do much more than just top and tail them. But I tried to put in little rhymes and little tricks, little verbal tricks to make it entertaining. I had to come out of it because, let me see. Oh, yes, of course, there was an Equity strike. Equity went on strike and I was replaced by David Nixon, who was not a member of Equity. Dear David. He'd join in anything, but he wouldn't join Equity.
It wasn't all success for you because you did have a spell when you suffered a wee bit and you went to South Africa, didn't
That's
you?
That's right. Somehow I seemed to have run out of steam, John. It was 1965. I'd made a series of my own and produced it myself called Mad Movies. And that was doing well, but I wasn't. My work in Cabaret, Summer Show, was disappointing. I'd done a summer season on the Central Pier at Blackpool, which at that time was a sign that a performer was over the hill. Those performers who'd run out of steam settled for a season at the Central Pier rather than the North Pier or, better still, the Opera House or the Winter Gardens. And, in those days, the Majestic that became the ABC. I knew I was labelling myself. I know this sounds ridiculous today in 1992, but one has to be aware of the fact that show business was a fraternity where certain signs were recognised as being, he's on the way up, he's on the way down. Central Pier was definitely an on the way down sign. My supporting acts were Neville King.
Yes.
And underneath Neville, a young impressionist, I think he was 24 or 25, called Mike Yarwood. He was a sensation in the show doing Harold Wilson. And I was hard put to come anywhere near his level of excitement. My jokes seemed stale. Everything I had seemed like 5 years old. I went to South Africa to do a tour. For the first time, I went second top on the bill. I'd managed to maintain top of the bill, which again was a sign of the times. Today in 1992, it doesn't matter where you are on the bill. People don't notice whether you're a headliner or a second bill or whatever. But at that time, it still mattered. I was taking second billing to the Barry Sisters, an American act, were quite popular, particularly with the Jewish community in South Africa. And I was determined to do something about it. My marriage was crumbling. My children who were there with me and my first wife who were there in South Africa with me, I think my first wife was, to restore my domestic balance, but it was clearly over. And they went back to England because the children were starting school. And apart from my depression, John, which you will understand, because you know so many performers and you know how, I'm not normally depressed. It's not my nature to be depressed. And I was determined to fight my way out of this gully I'd fallen into. And I sat all night in a hotel just outside Johannesburg and threw out my act and wrote myself a new act. I wrote from start to finish over three nights. And each day I would go and I had a super musical director, a lovely man, who would help me to pre-plan what I was going to do that night musically. And he would write the music and I would write the lyrics and we'd work it out the next day in the theatre. And I would go on each night and do a little more of my new stuff and cut out some of my old stuff. And by the end of the week in Port Elizabeth, the producer, the presenter of the show, Ronnie Quibell, said to the Barry Sisters, do you mind going second top? Bob's going bigger than you are. And I went top of the bill again. And that put my gonads back in position, John. It restored my faith in myself, and I came back to England on a telegram from Val Parnell saying, want you immediately to take over host of Sunday Night at the London Palladium. And I did the last, I went back in March and I ran through to July on the London Palladium hosting it, and that put me back where I had been before, with all new material. Every week was new material, topical gags, and I felt terrific again, and that was sort of a rebirth.
That reminds me of when you were actually at the Palladium, a young lad from the Isle of Wight, who was a dental mechanic, actually sent you some jokes.
That's Wally Malston.
Yeah. And the first time he heard one on the Palladium, he was, you know, so thrilled.
Yes. Oh, Wally's still thrilled. I mean, Wally now is a very well-established and famous comedy writer. But he still goes into absolute convulsions of joy when he hears one of his gags going over well. He wrote a lot for some of the best lines Jimmy Tarbuck did at the Palladium, and Her Majesty's were from Wally. And he wrote some brilliant stuff for Ted Rogers. And he's still, I think, one of the best one-liner MacGyver.
Because he started writing for scout shows here on the Isle of Wight.
Amazing. I knew he was a dental mechanic, but I never knew that.
Golden Shot, Bob, you sort of resurrected. You brought back the Golden Shot to life, didn't you, really?
I did for my 5 years on it. Yeah. Then Norman Vaughan succeeded me, and then everyone remembers Charlie Williams replaced him. And then the show was not doing well in the ratings. I don't think it was being very well written. The targets were not inventive. I mean, the game had lost some of its zest. It was not the fault of the presenter, I don't think at all. It was simply the backup that the presenters had. And I went back in on a commission by the head then of a man called Francis Essex, who was heading up Light Entertainment for Central, what was ATV. And he said, you come back and restore the Golden Shot to its elevated ratings, and I'll buy you a new show. And I said, I'll tell you the new show I want. I want Hollywood Squares. He said, we can't do a show called Hollywood Squares in Boreham Wood. And I said, no, we'll change the title to Celebrity Squares. And I know just the celebrities I'm after. I'm after John Inman, Arthur Mallard, Diana Dawes, Hattie Jakes, Charlie Drake. I reeled them off. And he said, well, I've never heard of it. I'll get a copy and look at it. So I got the Golden Shot back into the ratings by making it a birthday and celebratory show. You could only come on it if it was a wedding anniversary or something you had to celebrate. Lots of novel targets that blew up. Gosh, they were dangerous. And they were tremendous fun. And we had a lot of laughs out of the show. We couldn't bring that back because it had to be live. And I don't think you could do a live light entertainment show because of threats of terrorism. That's what killed the show. So we turned it to Celebrity Squares, and we got 4 years out of that, and as I've told you, strictly between us, and yes, don't tell anyone else this,
I won't.
We are probably going to bring that back in 1993.